It is good to be able to serve Jesus Christ, isn't it? Yesterday was Easter. Hope you guys just really had some time to celebrate exactly what Jesus did for us and remember the sacrifice and remember that was a personal thing with him. Jesus personally, he did what he did as a personal thing for you. That's the depth of the love that he has for you. He did it for all, but he did it for you. And he would have always done it for you. It's a very personal thing. That's how much he loves you. And that's how much he wants you to walk in all the good things that he's established for you. You know, two of the verses that come to my mind when I think about as a result or who we are because of what Jesus did. He did the work. He made the sacrifice. But two of the verses that I always remember that always stand out to me in Ephesians 2:6, it tells us that we are with him. We are now with him. We are seated with him. Who's at the right hand of the Father, was seated with him in those heavenly places. So we are seated with him. And then Romans 8 tells us also that we are joint heirs with him. So we're seated with him in that place of victory that he has at the right hand of the Father. And we're joint heirs with him. So all the things that he has accomplished, every victory, every good thing, you're a joint heir with him. Those things belong to you as well. So remember that as we head into this week. As you look towards today and as you look towards this week and you think about those things that are burdensome to you, those things that weigh you down, remember who you are. You belong to Jesus Christ. You're seated with him and you're joint heirs with him. That's reason to rejoice in regardless of what the situation is that you have today. I want to look today at the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, because as we sit back and we stop and think about who we are in Jesus Christ, we think about the work. Yesterday we spent, I trust we all spent yesterday, rejoicing, acknowledging, being thankful in the depths of our heart for what he did, stopping, realizing, and just sharing our joy, praising him for the things that he's done, for the work that he did do, for his death and his resurrection. And his ascension to be seated with the Father. But it also reminds us then of who we are because of what he did. See, when he made that sacrifice, when his life changed, you know what, that even reminds me of something. Let me just look at something before we get to 1 Peter. In John chapter 20, I love exactly what we see as Mary was seeing things on the day of the resurrection. And John chapter 20 gives us really a perspective in those first 18 verses, a perspective of exactly what Mary saw when she was at the tomb. But when she finally realized, and if you go through the story and you remember that when she did see Jesus, she didn't recognize him. She thought that he was the gardener. And she's asking Jesus, well, where have they put Jesus? Where have they taken him? Please tell me. And she didn't recognize him by seeing him. But as you go a little bit further on, you see that Jesus responds to her, and Jesus even says, calls her. And says, Mary. In verse number 16, Jesus says to her, Mary. She turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said, Jesus said, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. You know, so a lot of times we get a little bit confused when we read that verse, and sometimes we think, well, why did Jesus say, don't touch me? And sometimes we think that, well, Jesus said to her, don't touch me or don't cling to me because, you know, something bad's going to happen to either Mary or something's going to happen to the plan of salvation if she touches Jesus. And clearly that's not it at all. If you go and you look at the book of Matthew, in Matthew 28, it's very clear that Jesus, you know, that gives us another picture. It gives us another story of Jesus after he was resurrected, but before he was ascended, just like we see here. And in verse number 9, we do see in Matthew 28 that Jesus did allow women to hold on, those women who were followers, to hold on to his feet, and he didn't stop them. So it's not the touching, but this is the point that I want us to see. What Mary was actually saying, Mary was clinging to Jesus. In other words, she was clinging to Jesus, wanting Jesus to be the same that he was before. She was wanting to hold on to Jesus and keep Jesus here. Jesus understood that he still had to complete the work, and to complete the work means he had to ascend. He had to ascend to heaven. He had to ascend and be seated at the right hand of the Father and sit with total victory over all things. Mary wanted to hold on to him. Mary wanted to keep him there. Mary wanted the relationship that she had with Jesus previously. She wanted to have that same relationship. She didn't understand that Jesus had a better relationship that he was establishing for her and for all of us. And that's what Jesus wanted when he said, when he commanded her to stop touching her. What he was saying is, look, my life is going to be different than it was before. My life has changed. It's not going to be as it was before. And you have to accept that because it's going to be for your benefit and it's for the benefit of all. She was trying to hold on to Jesus as he had been. So that's one of the things that we tend to make a mistake sometimes is we want to hold on to, we need to look and see Jesus in every day of our lives. We should wake up with greater expectations, with a greater expectation of seeing and knowing who he is, of drawing closer to him and seeing the reality of Jesus Christ and seeing the reality of what he's done, seeing the reality of the things that he's called us to, and seeing the reality of his love for us, seeing the plans that he has for our lives, seeing the things that he's laid out before us to accomplish, or if we knew them all in advance, we'd be blown away by it. We need every day be looking with an expectation, greater expectations, of seeing and knowing who Jesus is. But too often we're like Mary. We want to cling to things as they were. I want to grow every day. I want to grow in him. I want to grow my knowledge of him. That's why we have the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus revealing himself to us on a daily basis. I want to know him more, and he wants you to know him more as well. So with that background, now let's go look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. I'm going to read this first from the King James. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." Now, if you read that in the Amplified Bible, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchase, special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and the perfections of him who called you out of darkness and into marvelous light." Part of Mary's mistake was she wanted Jesus to remain as she had seen Jesus before. She was reticent to grow. She was reticent to see the new things that Jesus had. She was reticent to grow in him. See, he had a whole different relationship, a better relationship with her, where he was present with her all the time, and she could be present with him. And where she was no longer, and same thing's true for all of us who've accepted him, where Mary was no longer separated from the Father, but through Jesus Christ would be able to be ever present, would be able to always be able to boldly go into that throne room. Better relationship that he had for her, and it's a better relationship that he has for us as well. But we're too often like Mary, where we want to hold on to the old things. Let's look for Jesus. Let's look at those new things that he has for us. Let's look at how he wants us to grow in him today. You know, when I first came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I didn't fully understand all the promises that he had. I didn't fully understand all that the word meant. Still don't. I'll be learning that all the time I'm here on this earth. But every day that passes, I want to learn more of what those truths are. I want to learn them so I can apply them. Because when it comes down to it, this is the reality. What this says in 1 Peter, you and I, because of what Jesus did, and because we've accepted the work, the sacrifice, the sacrificial work that he did, because we accept the fact that Jesus was God, that he became flesh, he lowered himself, he became flesh, and as flesh, he willingly went to the cross, took all of our sins, died to pay the price for all of our sins, rose again, and then ascended back into heaven to be seated with the Father and to be seated with total victory over all things. If I accept all those things, then verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2, this should speak to you and I. But you are part of a chosen race. God has chosen you. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. This is who you are in the eyes of Christ. A dedicated nation. So in other words, Jesus looks at you and I as the body of Christ, collectively but individually, as his chosen race, as a royal, that means kingly. This is covering two offices. You know, in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, you had your king and you had the priest. And they were two separate offices. the king couldn't be the priest. If the king tried to step out of his kingly office and take the spiritual aspect and take the priestly office, as Saul did, bad things result from that. But it's different for you and I. We're a royal priesthood. We are children of the king. We are part of. We are seated with him. We are part of him. Everything that is his, he's willingly given to us. He's the king of all. He's the Lord of lords, the king of all. We're part of that kingdom. You're one of the king's kids. You have that relationship. But we also have that priesthood. And there's an authority that we have, both as king and as priest. There's authority that we have. This is what he has given and established for you as part of that chosen nation. Because you've received him, and you believe what he did. You believe in him, and you've received the work that he did. You're a dedicated nation, God's own. This is how God looks at us. Purchased. He purchased you. You know, again, when I started this whole message this morning, one of the things I said is it's personal with him. When we think about Easter, you know, we think about it collectively, which is true. Jesus did what he did. He did it once and for all, and he did it for all mankind. So it is collective, but it's also personal, and that's the part that we overlook. He did it with his eyes on you. He saw you. That's hard for us to comprehend because, you know, we have a hard time focusing on more than one person at a time. If you get me in a room with people and, well, I'll even say yesterday at church, you know, after church, I was realizing, okay, all the people that were there, and I get caught up in one conversation, and I realize, oh, I never said hi or never said anything to these people or that people. It's hard for me that's a small setting comparatively. It's a tiny setting. And I have a hard time establishing relationship just with the group that's there. And we can focus on one person at a time. So it's hard for us to understand. But for Jesus, it's a personal thing. And it's a personal thing specifically with you. Yes, it's a collective truth. And that's important. But it's also a specific personal truth. This is what this verse is saying and telling us. This is who you are in Jesus Christ. He purchased you. And it's a personal thing that he did for you. To make you a chosen race, the royal priesthood. A dedicated nation. A special people is what it says in the Amplified Bible. You are special to him. You, specifically, are special to him. You may not feel like it today. You may feel and sometimes ask yourself, where is Jesus in this? Where is Jesus in these circumstances? Same thing Mary said, John chapter 20, the chapter we just looked at. It's the same thing that Mary said. You know, she was standing there looking for Jesus, she said, and she's asking, where is Jesus? Where is he? She didn't know he was standing right there. Same thing is true for you and I. There's a lot of times that we say, where's Jesus in the situation? Well, when she was asking that question, where have they taken him? Her answer was right there. All she had to do was turn around, and she did, and there he was. Same thing's true for you and I. Jesus is right there with you at all times. When you say, where is Jesus in the situation, just turn around. In other words, take your focus off of the carnal things and look with your spiritual eyes, because he's right there. It's a personal thing with him. You are special to him. He loves you because you've accepted the work that he did, because you accepted the love that he demonstrated by what he did. You're a special people. Now here's, for me, one of the real keys of all this. I spent all this time establishing who you are and what you are in Jesus Christ. And that's personal to him. You're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. You're a dedicated nation. God's own. Purchased. Special people. He purchased you at a very high cost. His own blood. But now listen to the rest of this. And this is from the Amplified Bible. That you may set forth the wondrous deeds, and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. You and I have been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. He's chosen you as a chosen race, the royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own, purchased, special people. That's who you are. And this is the result of that, that you may set forth. He's saying that you'll set forth an example, that you will set forth wonderful deeds. He's expecting, the expectation is that you and I will allow the wonderful deeds of Jesus Christ to work through us. We'll allow the things that Jesus has promised and done to work through us. There will be deeds, His deeds, His supernatural and marvelous, miraculous deeds done and evidenced through our lives. That you personally, again, remember it's personal, that you personally may set forth wonderful deeds, and that you, this is how He wants to use you today, that you will display, you will be Jesus on display, that you will display the virtues and perfections of Him. Whoa, you say to yourself, whoa, that's, I can't be all that. That's what's in you. You're His chosen people. Listen, you may feel like you're not worthy of it, but it doesn't change the fact. It does not. You might feel like you've failed. You might feel like you are worthless. But this is the reality. This is who you are. You might feel those things. You might feel like a failure, and you might feel like you're not worthy, but that's how you feel. This is who you are, and this is how you are. You're part of His chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. That's how He sees you. It's how He's established you. You're a dedicated nation. You were purchased by God. Special people. You're a special person to Him. That through you, His wonderful deeds will be on display. His virtues and perfection of Him on display. This is what we can expect. Now, as you look at today, and as you look at the weeks ahead, that's ahead of you, what is it you're stressed about? What is it you're concerned about? What is it you're fearful of? What's holding you back today? And whatever it is, see yourself not as one that's held back by whatever those situations or circumstances might be, but see yourself as one who is a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, purchased by God and special to Him for the purposes that you would set forth wonderful deeds. Expect that you're going to see the wonderful deeds, the overcoming victories. You're going to see the supernatural things, whether it's in your health, your finances, your job, just in the things of your life that the world sees. They're going to see the special deeds. They're going to see the wondrous deeds of Jesus Christ. That means they're going to see things that is not possible for the world. It's not possible for a man. It's impossible by all natural things, but it is possible through Jesus Christ, and they will see it in you and through you. The world is waiting to see the wonderful deeds and the displays of the virtues and perfections of Jesus Christ that exist in you. And they do exist in you because you are His purchased special people.